So there was, you had a couple of years off, 4 or 5 years from Seasons to this album. What was the inspiration behind this album? How did it all come about for you?
Well, I actually didn't have 5 years off. I just there's been a long period in between all of my albums, and I think it's just got to do with, you know, me doing them independently. You know, it was my fourth record, and I've done them all myself. And you know, in between that, toured extensively and been in Europe and traveled around a lot. So it's just took a lot of time, but the time between Seasons and Spark and Shine is certainly a long wait in between records. There was definitely a bit of downtime because I was involved in a pretty serious motorcycle accident about 3 years ago, right when we were getting ready to, you know, start a record after, you know, after touring Europe. And I was sort of out of the picture for almost close to a year, you know, where I couldn't really play. I was just sort of healing up and stuff. I had like 20 broken bones. Not a fun time, you know.
So how do you kind of keep yourself, like, sane during that time? You're a musician. It's, like, kind of what you're born to do. So what did you do during that year to keep yourself composed?
Well, let's see. I mean, you know, while I was sort of healing up, I mean, I strummed my guitar a lot, but I was just sort of really concerned with being able to, function again as a human being, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I just really played music. I just didn't really go on tour or do anything like that. And, once I started sort of hobbling around, I had pain and sling and all kinds of stuff for a little while. A lot of my friends in Venice and Marina, where I live, just wouldn't have any of it. They would pull me up to sing a song or here and there, and I would be up for little things, but there was a little sort of gray zone there where I wasn't really working. I just could not, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So the band has done very, very well outside of the United States. This is kind of like your, I don't want to say homecoming to the United States, but kind of like your first, like, really, like, big splash in the United States. Are you looking forward to this album?
Man, absolutely. And that's sort of, I wouldn't call it a homecoming either, but it is sort of our first big splash. And we're all thrilled about it. I mean, it's not like we've ever avoided the United States. It's just that I've always gone where my work is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's taken me, you know, to Europe for the most part for the last, you know, 10 years. That being said, it's always been easier to sort of, you know, go attack a few countries in Europe than to look at the map of the United States, which is gigantic. it's much more difficult. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, for example, if you said, hey, we're going to go tour, just say, for example, Spain, you know, that's a whole country, but that's like looking at the map of the United States going, okay, guys, we're going on tour in Pennsylvania. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can cover a lot more ground that way, but yeah, we've been dying to really get ourselves on the playing field more here in the United States, and everybody in the Lake Stars camp is super excited about what's happening right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You guys have an excellent lineup. I mean, the bands that these guys have played in speak for themselves. Their talent speaks for themselves in musicianship. So do you feel like a transition to, like, the United States market is something that's, you know, kind of like a done deal? How do you guys feel about that?
Well, we're obviously going to go back to Europe and back to, you know, Japan and South America and everything else. But we want to have a career at home where we live, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, this is our home, you know, I have something to prove, man, you know, and mm-hmm. I've been really fortunate enough to get, to have really good respect from my peers, and, you know, I want to be on the same playing field with those guys when I'm home, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just everybody's sort of chomping at the bit, you know, we got the record in our hands, coming out in a couple weeks. We got our vehicle ready to go and our trailer and all our gears. Everybody's just ready to jump, you know. plus, I don't know if Amanda told you, but we just got a new drummer that I am so incredibly excited about. and it's Dave Cruzan, who was the original drummer in Pearl Jam, is
wow.
now the new drummer in Lazy Stars, and we've been rehearsing all week, and he has just inserted himself like an absolute glove into the band, and it's amazing, you know?
So speaking of which, the new addition and just like the band in general, how do you get all these guys to be in the band? You even got Daryl Hannah to sing a couple of songs on the album, and she sounds amazing. How did you guys put all these different pieces together and they work? How does that happen?
You know, it's funny, man. I mean, I've lived in Los Angeles for a long time, and, you know, I mean, like I was saying earlier, it's just, I've been really fortunate where I have the respect of my peers, you know, because I've been doing what I've been doing for a long time, and you know, all of the people that I play with, whether they're in like a super famous band or not, I mean, are just like me. We're all the same. We're lifers. You know, we love music and we want to play music, and those kind of people gravitate together. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's an honor for me. You know, it's fun to play with amazing artists. It makes your job easier, especially as a songwriter. Daryl, you know, that was almost by accident, and we just started goofing around and singing together, and it was amazing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, she obviously, if you look at her career, she's always been around music, and she's always been playing music. It's just that the world doesn't know her as that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Were you kind of surprised the first time you played with her? Like, whoa, wait a second. That's like the woman from Kill Bill and Mermaid, and she can play guitar and sing. Like, how did you feel the first time you played with her?
I've seen her sing before. Not at a gig or anything, and I knew that she was completely capable. And as we became closer and became friends, we just fell into it, and I wasn't surprised. It was really interesting to, you know, because we're friends, you know, and mm-hmm. like, wow, you really have something else here that you should nurture, you know what I mean? Rami, Jeffy and I have been, making a bunch of recordings with her over the last year, and she's really good, you know. I'm not sure what she's going to do with her record when it's done, but she's definitely, I mean, she's great. She reminds me sort of Shelby Lynn a little bit.
Nice.
Her voice, you know.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of some of the tracks off of the album, Sweet Magnolia Flower is just a really, it's an emotional song, but it's just got so many different elements to it. Can you just speak about the creative process behind it and how it all came about?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm really proud of all my songs, but that one in particular is a standout from this record for me. On a personal level, just because, you know, it's one of those ones that really just came like in a few seconds. You know, I woke up in the morning and the song was done, and a few minutes later, and it's one of those songs that I had gone through a little bit of a thing with a woman at the time, and you know, the song is really just the way that I thought it in my head, and it translated right onto paper exactly the way that it was. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just a complete stream of consciousness spot. I woke up and that is what I was thinking and feeling, and then the song was done a few minutes later. And it's so sparse and intimate that I really wanted to keep it that way when we recorded it, which is why it's just me live singing it and Jesse Green playing strings, and when we recorded that one, we wanted to, I wanted to, the vocal to sound incredibly intimate, like I was laying in bed, you know, like sort of whispering it in your ear. And we recorded it with like 20 vocal mics all around, like one pointed at my chest, one on my back,
wow.
you know, one in my head, just to get every little sort of reverberation that we could, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty proud of that one. People have, like, have heard it. It really sort of makes people take a little step back, which is cool, you know, because you know, the job of sort of any song is to get your feeling across to the listener. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of your music, the title track, Sparkle and Shine, It's got a different feel than Sweet Magnolia Flower. You've kind of got like this Tom Petty, Mick Jagger thing going on there, and you know, you're kind of belting a little bit more. What's that song about?
Well, that's definitely, I mean, it can be taken a couple different ways, you know, but it's certainly written, again, from a sort of relationship standpoint with a, you know, my relationship with a person, and it's me trying to, you know, sort of dig this feeling out of somebody, and it's sort of through the eyes of a gold miner with a pickaxe, you know, like digging. For this gold and the dirt, I know it's going to be there. You know, I'm going to keep on digging. I'm going to find. I'm going to pull this little sparkle out of the shitty dirt on the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it definitely, it's most definitely. I mean, you hit it right on the head. It's got sort of Tom Petty, Stonesy vibe. And when we tracked that song, I like there was no hiding it. I wanted that song to sound like it was on Exile on Main Street. You know.
Mm-hmm. What are your real goals for this album? How do you want this album to be remembered a couple of years from now?
This record is the record. This is, you know, I mean, an artist will say that about every record they make, but, you know, I felt very strongly about this one from the inception, and this is the record that's going to sort of put me on the map here in the United States, and then the rest of the world will follow, even in a bigger and better way. This record, I think, is just going to be remembered as the one that sort of broke us here in the United States, you know, and brought a lot of really good things for my career, you know.
I'm going to give you a hypothetical here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say, you know, you're in a Best Buy or a CD Barn or just some music place, and you see someone looking at this album and they've got it in their hands and they have that moment that we all have. Do I get it? Do I not get it? And they pick it up and they put it down. They pick it up again. They're torn, and you can just say something to them, speak to them for a couple of seconds to kind of get them to come home with that album. What do you think that you would say to them?
If I was a little bird in their ear,
yeah,
I would say you need to buy this record. It's legitimate and it's real rock and roll, and it's not bullshit. It's real music, you know, and that's something on all my records. I mean, I've always taken heart. I mean, you know, I believe in music as an art form. It's where you close your eyes and you listen to it. That's what music essentially is, although that seems to almost have been forgotten over the past 20 years or so. But, yes, I'd say this is definitely, we're delivering the goods to you. You know, I think you'll be happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.